The Journey Renewed, Chapter 40. One day a great bustle prevails in the camp of the Israelites. The women are packing their furniture. Carefully, the men are rolling up the canvas tents. Others are gathering together the flocks of sheep and goats. Yes, they even are very busy with the tabernacle. The Levites are taking the tabernacle apart. The curtains are carefully folded. The pillars upon which these curtains were hung are put on piles. What is going on? Why are they doing all this work? The children of Israel are moving. The Lord commanded them to prepare for the journey. They are going to leave Mount Sinai. More than a year has passed since they have left the land of Egypt. But before they travel further, they had first celebrated the Passover. Thus, they were reminded of the previous year. What a great difference! At that time, they were still in Egypt under the dominion of the cruel monarch Pharaoh. Now they are free. Many things have happened during this past year, such as first the departure from Egypt, then the passing through the Red Sea, in which Pharaoh and his entire army were drowned. After that, the journey to Sinai, then the stay at Sinai, the giving of the law, the golden calf, and the building of the tabernacle. They again talked to each other about all these things. The command of the Lord to leave came to them after the Passover. Sinai had been a good place to stay, because every day they received their bread, the manna, and there was plenty of water. However, they were not permitted to remain there. Mount Sinai was not promised to them, no, but the land of Canaan was. Now they are busy getting ready for their departure. Even the boys and girls help industriously. Finally, everything is ready, and the procession begins to move. The priests walk first, carrying the ark, for we read in the Bible that the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them. This ark is neatly wrapped in a cloth. Only the staves by which the ark is carried are seen. The tribe of Judah marches before all the other tribes. Then some of the Levites follow, and they carry the boards, beams, and the curtains of the tabernacle. After these Levites, a few other tribes come, and then comes a second group of Levites, carrying the other utensils, such as the altars, the table of showbread, the golden candlestick, and other things. The remaining tribes complete this procession. The pillar of a cloud shows them the way as they again march into the dry, hot wilderness. Now they go toward the north, straight to the land of Canaan. Sadly, many Israelites look around once more. Then, with a deep sigh, they walk onward. Oh, why are they so sad? Ah, boys and girls, they are sad because there at Sinai is a large cemetery. You still remember that 3,000 were slain because of the golden calf, don't you? They are buried there, and now they must remain there. These 3,000 had gone out of Egypt full of courage and with many plans, but they never entered Canaan. They died at Sinai because they were disobedient and danced before the golden calf. For that reason, some men and women again look around. Who knows? Probably a child of theirs lies buried there. But they cannot remain standing. No, they must travel further. Then they go forward. Bah! Always the same manna. I do not like it anymore. So murmurs one Israelite to his neighbor while they walk to their tents. Oh man, be quiet. We don't like it either, is his answer. It wasn't very long before all the people were dissatisfied. The Egyptians who went along with the Israelites were the first to complain. We read in the Bible that they wept. They go to Moses. We should have remained in Egypt, they complained. At least we had fish, cucumbers, and other food there. We have nothing here in this dry, barren desert but this sickening manna. Bah! We loathe it. Give us flesh. We want meat. They do not ask for it, but they demand it. Moses hears the complaining and murmuring of the people. He becomes angry, for we read, Moses was displeased. The Lord also was angry, for we read, the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. There is dissatisfaction again, murmuring again. It only has been 3 days since leaving Sinai, and already for the second time they murmur. The first time they murmured because the way was so difficult while marching over the mountains. Then the Lord punished them immediately. Listen to what is recorded. The fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So fire broke out. They were frightened and asked Moses to pray for them. Moses did this, and the Lord answered him. Now, a second time, the people rebel. Moses is afraid that they will be punished again. Oh, if it must continue this way, there will be a time when the Lord will destroy them completely. He goes to the tabernacle and prays, O Lord, I do not know what to say or for what I should pray. They are again murmuring and complaining. Lord, I cannot lead this people all alone. It is too heavy for me. Moses becomes discouraged, and it is no wonder. The Israelites are so unthankful. Aren't they on a journey? It will not remain thus always, will it? Soon, when they arrive in Canaan, and they will receive the most delicious food, there will be bread made of the finest wheat, which will be grown by them, and also grapes, olives, figs, yes, too many good things to be able to name them all. Isn't it a land which flowed with milk and honey? Here in the wilderness, the Lord gives them this choice manna. Every day they receive it anew. And what is the response? The Israelites complain and murmur. They must have meat. However, the Lord heard their weeping. All right. They will receive meat, but they will not receive it as a blessing, but as a curse. They will receive it in God's disfavor. Children, you also annoy and at times beg your mother for something. Let us take an example. Mother, may I have an apple? No, not now, but after. Come now, mother, give me an apple. You continue to ask. Finally, your mother gets angry and says, You naughty boy or bad girl, take one. You do receive an apple, but your mother is angry. She doesn't wish to talk with you now. This takes away the real enjoyment of your apple, isn't that true? So it was when the Lord gave meat to the Israelites. His anger was greatly kindled. The Lord said to Moses, I will give them flesh, not for one day, not for 10 days, but for one whole month. They shall eat meat until they will loathe it. It will be so bad that it will come out of their nostrils. Moses draws an unbelieving face and says, If every cow and sheep were slain which we have, yet that would not be sufficient. But God answers, Do you think that I cannot do it, Moses? I am almighty. I can do anything. You will see it. It shall happen. Suddenly the wind begins to blow violently. Great swarms of birds come flying. These birds are quails. The Israelites are happy. They think not about God being angry. That makes no difference to them, because now they have what they wanted, flesh. They gather these birds the entire day, during the night that follows and even the next day. They clean them and dry them in the hot sun. This will preserve them better, and they will be able to keep them longer. Some of the people begin to eat them immediately. They greedily put their teeth into them. Then the punishment of the Lord comes. Suddenly many of them become sick, and soon thereafter die. The strongest and healthiest Israelites suddenly fall down dead. This is a heavy punishment. Again, grief prevails in many tents. With weeping, all these dead are buried. This place is called Kibroth Hatava, which means the graves of lust. The Lord also heard the complaint of Moses and answered him, It will no longer be necessary for you to govern this people all alone, God said. I will give you helpers. 70 eminent Israelites were chosen, and they shall help Moses from this time forward. Afterward, the Israelites travel further, leaving their many dead behind. It is a few days later. The children of Israel continue to march onward under the leadership of Moses, who is their commander. Moses makes known to them all the commands of the Lord. If they are in difficulty, they go to Moses. If there is something which is not to their liking, Moses is blamed for it. He must take care to regulate everything. You can easily understand that his task was not an easy one. How often hadn't they already threatened him? Yes, sometimes they even wished to stone him. What a blessing it was that the Lord aided Moses in all things. Suddenly, a new difficulty arises. What is it now? Don't they have any water? Or is there something else which they want? No. This time it is not the Israelites who rebel against Moses, but it is his own relatives. His own sister, Miriam, is dissatisfied. This is the same Miriam who years ago stood watch at the River Nile over the ark of bulrushes in which her small brother lay crying. She is very old. Perhaps nearly 100 years. Why is she angry with her brother? Alas, she is jealous of Moses. She cannot bear that Moses, her brother, is the most eminent person and that everyone goes to her brother for his advice. She talks to her other brother, Aaron, about it. Moses must think that he is the chief one here, she says. But the Lord has also spoken by us. Really, we are just as important as he. Don't you think so, Aaron? Questioningly, she looks at Aaron. He agrees. Yes, he says. Moses receives far too many tales. You are right, Miriam. Together they talk about Moses in a disdainful manner, and the Israelites also can hear it. Yes, they even make sure that Moses himself hears about it. They scornfully speak about the wife of Moses, Zipporah. Let him look at himself, they say to each other. He doesn't even have a wife from his own people. She is a foreigner. In this way, they try to place Moses in an evil light. Moses gives no answer upon this. He is silent and doesn't defend himself. But the Lord heard it too, and he shall defend Moses because what Miriam and Aaron are doing is very dangerous. If all the Israelites hear this, they will agree with Miriam and Aaron. They will think that Moses made himself the commander over the people. Suddenly, the Lord speaks from the cloud. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come here. They obey immediately. And when they come near the tabernacle, the Lord again speaks. Why do you speak evil of Moses? You may not do that. Moses is my servant. He did not make himself the leader, but I have called him. Therefore, he is my servant. I talk with him mouth to mouth. You should be ashamed of yourselves to speak so disrespectfully about Moses. Suddenly, Aaron frightens exceedingly, for when he in shame looks at Miriam his sister, she is leprous. He sees it immediately. Leprosy is a dreadful disease. Slowly the complete body becomes covered with large white sores which become larger. No one can cure that disease, not even the best doctors. God only can cure it. Now these sores come upon Miriam. Her entire face is white with leprosy. That is the punishment of God upon her wickedness. Miriam herself feels it. She is terrified. Aaron asks Moses, "Oh, pray to God for her. Ask the Lord if he will restore her." Surely Moses will not do that, will he? We would say, that is just good for you. You should have kept still. But no, Moses did not do that. He asked the Lord if he would cure Miriam. The Lord answers this prayer, but not immediately. Miriam must remain leprous for 7 days. For 7 days she cannot come into her tent, but she must remain all alone in the wilderness, far from the Israelites. The Lord commanded that. All the people must see that Miriam was punished by God. That is a warning to them. During this time, the Israelites did not travel further, but they remained by Hazeroth. They waited until Miriam again was restored. Afterwards, they went further. Finally, they came to Kadesh Barnea. In the distance, they could see high hills. Behind these hills lay the land of Canaan.